Good morning. Brother Jonathan, could I get you to lead one more little hymn? It's a hymn that we're all familiar with. Let's all rise to our feet and sing, "Come Bless the Lord." Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning again. We're anticipating, we're expecting this morning to hear from you. We're hoping with expectation, Lord, to hear from you. We're asking you this morning to draw us to your throne, draw us to your word. Pray that you would go up and down the aisles this morning and you would touch each one of us in our own special way as we have need of that, Lord. We have need of you this morning. We commit this time, this service in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I remember very early on in my conversion, we used to sing this song, "Come Bless the Lord." We used to sing it a lot. But I don't ever remember singing this song that I didn't pay special attention when I lift my hands, what went through my mind when I would lift my hands. And I would ask myself, I don't know why. I suppose it was because of the reverence in the song and the presence of God. But I would ask myself this question. Do I have clean hands? Do I have a pure heart? I don't know why that was. I don't remember ever singing that song that I wouldn't ask myself that question. And I can't say that I always lifted my hands when I sung that song. But I say that very carefully this morning. There's two things that are very close to my heart this morning. It's the word worship and the word holiness. This is not going to be a word study on worship and holiness, but rather, may this be a drawing away from the cares of this life, from the distractions, from the world, and anything aside from God, and give us all an invitation this morning to draw nigh unto God. James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." I would like to say something this morning about our conscience. And this just come to my mind. If your conscience this morning is tugging at your heart, that That's a really good thing. That's a very precious thing. If your conscience is speaking to you this morning about something in your life, that's a very precious thing. Something that God put there. And you can be assured if God put it there, He's speaking to you this morning. I don't want you to hear from me this morning, but I want you to listen to your conscience. There's normally two ways that we respond to our conscience. And one, the first one, is we can ignore it, which is what many people do a lot of the time. They ignore it. The other thing you can do is you can do what James says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, when I said this morning, as I was coming here, as I was driving, I was thinking about my conscience, or about our conscience. And I would like to comment just a little further on our conscience, and then I'll leave that alone. Did you realize that your conscience is what allows you to worship God? Your conscience is what allows you to worship God. And your conscience is also what doesn't allow you to worship God. Your conscience is a very special thing. So I'd like to ask us this morning to be very mindful of our conscience. Okay, I'm not going to look these verses up, but I have some verses written down this morning as I've been thinking about worship and holiness. Worship God this morning in truth and in spirit. In the beauty of holiness, we sing these songs. Lift up hands in the holy place. Lift up holy hands. Psalms chapter 24, verse 3, it says, who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who may? Which one of you qualifies to stand upon the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who may? It says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity or to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. The last thing I want to do this morning is bring condemnation upon any person here, or judgment. That is not my desire, and it's also not God's desire, but to draw nigh to God. No matter where you're at, we might not all be in the same place. We're probably all in different places this morning. But draw nigh to God this morning. There's also other scriptures that I would like to speak about this morning that are very closely related to the ones I've just mentioned here. It's a verse found in Matthew 5, verse 48. It says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I'm not here to explain away this verse, but what do you think about when you read this? Do you just skim over it? Do you have an attitude in your heart that says, no, God is perfect. None of us can be like God. Do we have that kind of an attitude? I would like for us to think of, when we think of Jesus Christ as our prime example, many times it's very good for us, it's very healthy for us to look at Jesus Christ not only as our example, but we are to follow Him. But many times, we can just kind of compare ourselves with Him and say, well, He was God. And this is not a competition. This is not for us to see if we can do it better than He did. God never asked us. Jesus said, greater things than these will you do because I go to my Father. But that's still not a competition. There's a simple little secret that we can find in God's Word that I would like to mention. But it's as we compare ourselves with the Lord, let's not. It's not about doing it better than He did, or even doing it just as good as He did. But it's doing it like He did. Jesus said, I always do those things which please the Father. Jesus always did the will of the Father. That is the secret, to do God's will, to do the will of the Father. If we want to be perfect, do the will of the Father. Now that can mean a variety of things, but let's keep going here. There's also another verse in 1 Peter. We find it in a couple of different places, but it says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, most of you know what this means. If we were to look at the word worship this morning, which we're going to just real briefly, it probably should be explained somewhat, something like this. It's the act of paying divine honors to a deity, it's a religious reverence and homage. It's just as necessary and natural to worship as it is to live. The feeling and expression of high adoration, reverence, trust, love, loyalty, and depending upon a higher power, namely to God. Worship is as old as humanity. Did you know that? Worship is just as old as worship was from the very beginning when God created man. He created man to worship. God created you to worship. In the Old Testament, we look at the word worship. I think it's pronounced shaha, which simply means to fall down or to bow down. This act of worship consisted in falling upon the knees and then touching the forehead to the ground. Now it would do us very good, I believe, to look into that and study that and see the meaning and the reason. But they were required. Back then, men were required, especially the children or the children of Israel, they were required to worship God. Now, not every man every man was made to worship, but not every man worshiped God. I'm guessing that every man worshiped something or someone, but not necessarily God. Matthew 22, verse 14, it says, for many are called, but only few are chosen. It gives us a picture there that many were called, but not everyone worshiped. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the secret that I was talking about earlier. I've got that verse highlighted in my Bible because I believe if we overlook this, we can go over that. We can get so used to saying, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's very important. That's very important here. the Bible also says in Romans 14, verse 11, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." And it basically says the same thing in Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11. It's giving us the picture here that sooner or later, all man will bow down to God. Every man will worship sooner or later. I would like to just touch briefly some of the things that would keep me from worshiping God, even after I became a believer. I would come to church, and this can still happen today. We can come to church, and we are participating in a service. We are participating in a service today. And one of the things that keep us from worship is sin. So I would like to just say, I'm not going to say that's okay, but that's okay. If sin is keeping you from worshiping this morning, it's not okay. But God can make it okay. And I say this carefully. Don't let that keep you from worshiping God. And I want to touch, we're going to come back to that. I'm not talking about compromising, and I'm not saying it's okay to sin. But sin is what keeps us from worshiping. I would like to emphasize that the word worship and holiness, they walk together, hand in hand. I remember for 26 years of my life, I went to church every other Sunday, and I had a form of holiness. I wasn't holy, but I looked holy. The reason I looked holy is because I looked separated from the world, especially on Sunday, because I dressed a certain way. But I had a form of holiness, and in my mind, I was holy. But I had no worship. And to me, that is one of the darkest forms of religion that we can have, is have an outward form of holiness without worship. An outward form of holiness is not holiness unless inwardly you are holy. And I said that was the first 26 years of my life I experienced that. And then today, the danger that we're facing today is worship without holiness. That doesn't work real well either. That can't work. Worship without holiness. We can worship God just how we are. And that's not what I'm encouraging this morning. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 9. "That was the true light which giveth light to every man coming into the world." It's referring here to Jesus Christ. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, nor of the will of man, but of God." I'm going to read that verse again. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." There's two things here that I would like to point out in these verses. The first one is that Christ, the true light, was rejected. It says, "He came into his own, and his own received him not." That doesn't just mean that they didn't receive him, but it also means that they rejected him. They didn't just not receive Him, they also rejected Him. The next thing I would like to look at here is Christ, the true light, was received. Christ, the true light, was received. Verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God, to those who believe on His name." And that word power, someone can correct me here. You all correct me if I'm wrong. Another way that we could use that word power is authority. And that's not a very popular word today, but it's a very positive word here in this phrase here, in this verse. To them gave He the authority to become the children of God. In my Bible it says, the New King James Version, it says, to them gave He the right to become the children of God. But as many as received Him, to them He authorized. To them, they gained access to the holiest of holies. To them, they were qualified. They were qualified. And I would just like to reiterate again this morning. This morning, are you qualified? Have you gained access? Have you been authorized? Have you been granted that access? And if you have, come and worship in the holy place. Come and worship in the holy place. There's a very powerful thing there that God did when He, for everyone that received Him, to them gave He power. It's not your power. It's the power of God in your life to worship, to respond, to be holy, to do the will of God in your life. With that in mind, I would like to also take a look at the word holy. Again, this is not a word study. Many of you have definitions here of holy that would be very good to hear. I didn't write a lot down. But it's a very familiar word. One of the words in the Strong's, it says it this way, it's an awful thing. It's an awful thing. Something sacred. Something consecrated. Something set apart for a divine purpose. I am of the opinion that the word holy can only be used in relation to God. I know that the word holy gets misused. I think that I'm sure the Catholics... Again, I'm sure that the Catholics, they are using also in reference to God, but they got holy this, holy that, holy this, and holy that. And I'm sure it all pertains to their form of religion. So it would pertain to God in that sense. But I'm sure it gets misused. But the word faith, and I've come to realize that, again, you can all correct me if I'm wrong, but the word faith, in my opinion, can only be used in reference to God. I don't think everyone has faith. I think faith is something that we can only use in reference to coming to God. It says, I believe the word believe is very closely related to faith, and I believe that everyone believes, but I don't believe everyone has faith. And in the same manner, I believe that holy can only be used in associated to God. We can set things apart. We can set things apart, but someone can correct me on this. I was thinking why. As this was laid on my heart, and I agreed with God last night that I would share what He had laid on my heart. Because this is for me. It's also for you. I'm talking to me this morning, but I'm also talking to you. And I'm talking to everyone in here. If I was to ask if we could all agree on one thing this morning, could we dedicate this service to God? I don't think any of us would ever hesitate, and we would say yes. We can dedicate this service to God. But how about you? How about you? What about me? Have I dedicated myself to God today? Am I separated unto God this morning for His purpose, for worship, for His purpose? It doesn't become a holy thing until you have consecrated or separated yourself to God. That's when it becomes holy. What is on your mind when you walk through the door this morning? When you come through this door, these doors this morning, in your mind is what you're going to be doing after you leave here. You're not dedicated. I'm not going to call you an unholy thing, but I'm going to encourage you to dedicate this time to God for His purpose, for God's glory. He is worthy. Are you separated from the world right now? I was looking last night for a blueprint. I didn't find one. But I used to have some blueprints that were laying around. And I built a few houses. And I was thinking, if we have received the Lord, like it says in John 1, to us has been given the power. God has granted us, authorized us. We've been given a blueprint to do the will of God. We've been given a blueprint. But the problem is, this is God's blueprint. And as you think of a blueprint here this morning, normally a blueprint to build a house was normally made up of about 4, 5, maybe 6, 7 pages. And they would have the layout, the foundation or the basement, and then they would have a floor plan. And in that floor plan was the framer. It was designed for the framer. It was designed for the plumber. It was designed for the electrician. And then there was an interior. There was an interior plan, and then there was an exterior plan. And it was a lot of times I would look at it real briefly, and then I would page over into the last page, and I wanted to see what it looked like, a finished product. That's what I wanted to see. It was what it was supposed to look like. But anyhow, that is what we're doing today, is we have been given a blueprint by God. And the problem is with this blueprint, that this is God's blueprint, and it must be built according to the print. There are specs here that need to be built. The way we're going to build this house is according to the specs. And if you're anything like I am, you're going to look at that blueprint, and I'm not going to say that I was quick to cut corners, but sometimes I would see where I could cut corners. Maybe do something that would go unnoticed, or see what I could get by with, or, you know, they want this house built this way, but is this really necessary? And we find that very same thing going on in God's will in our lives. Is this really necessary? What's going to happen if I don't do it this way? And that is the struggle that we all face today with this blueprint that God has given us. Maybe some of you think that your house is built. I don't know who's the oldest one in here. I'm looking at Laverne over there, and I think he's 60-some years old, and he's still building his house. He's still building his house. We also heard this morning that there was some young people last night at 2 o'clock this morning that perished, and their houses are built. Their houses are built. This is going to be as complete as it's going to get. What is left undone? I'm 41. And I've just begun building my house. But I want to dedicate it to God, and I want to do it the way He wants it done. Danny, your children are all building a house. I thank you that you let me pick on you a little. But your children are all building your house, their house. We're all given a blueprint. We're building a house. Sometimes the door doesn't close right, or maybe we install something and it doesn't work. Maybe something's out of square. Maybe something was done on purpose. If that's the case, let's not leave it like that. Let's go back and fix it. Let's go back and fix it. Maybe we need to get on our knees. Maybe we need to ask God to help us. But let's do it. Let's not keep that thing. Let's not let us keep that thing from worship, keep us from worshiping God because of that thing that we left over there. It becomes such a small thing when we think about it. Sin is a very big thing, but it's a very small thing when we think about it in terms of eternity. Why would we allow such a small, selfish thing keep us from worshiping God? Why would we? I don't think I have anything else to share. This was for me, but it's also for you. Let's seek God together. And I'm encouraged this morning. I'm not discouraged, but I just felt like that's what the Lord laid on my heart. God bless each one of you.